Good morning.
Good morning.
As you can tell, I am not Pastor Nate, but I could be if I wanted to be. No, I'm just kidding. No, in all seriousness, just a couple of matters of prayer. Number one, be in prayer for just everyone this season. I know the sickness is really going around. I tried to sit down this morning and write a prayer list, and there were so many names, and I definitely did not want to miss one. So I just want to ask for prayer for everyone. I know that there are people in the hospital. Specifically, there is one name I want to be in prayer for because it's a pretty serious one. Be in prayer for Michael Brookshire. He is in Vandy after a really, really bad car accident. They're waiting for his brain to stop swelling so they can have a little bit more of an idea as to what's going on there. So be in prayer for them. That's Greg Hines' nephew. So be in prayer for the family as well as they continue to listen and hopefully get clarity on what's going on. But also be in prayer for Brother Nate. He called me this morning at 3:45. He got very sick. And so I was called upon then, so be in prayer for me that I don't fall asleep on the pulpit, because I've been up since 3:45, but no, I am thankful for the opportunity to be here and to give, to present God's word. Thank y'all for being here this morning. I want to formally welcome you all. If you are visiting with us this morning, there is a connect card in front of you that we would love for you to fill out. We would love to have a record of your visit. Also, there is a guest packet in the front that we would love for you to have. It's a gift for you guys as for our gratitude for you being here, worshiping with us this morning. And so now I'm going to turn it over to Brother Aaron as he gives our announcements.
Good morning. So things are a little bit different this morning, right? So Caleb is going to be preaching halfway through the week. I lost my voice. It has come back sort of, but I'm not 100%. So Bubba is going to be leading us in our music, but it is definitely a gift to have him and to have people who are willing and able to step up, because the church is a lot more than just one pastor, than one leader. We're still going to worship in spirit and in truth this morning. So we have our announcements this morning. The children's department will present their Christmas program, Where's Baby Jesus, tonight at 5:30 p.m. Children participating in the program should arrive at 3 p.m. for final practice. The program will be followed by our annual Cocoa and Cookies Fellowship. Cookies for the fellowship are needed. Please, hint, hint. There will be no fellowship meal this Wednesday night. In addition to all regular classes, a business meeting will also be held. All of these beginning at 6:30 p.m. We will only have one worship service next Sunday, December 22nd at 10 a.m. This service will include the Lord's Supper. We will not have an 8 a.m. service. We will not have Sunday school or an evening service. So again, next Sunday, one service, 10 a.m., we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper, and it is very, very important that you all be there. It is a gift from God to us, and not only a gift, but a command, and it's an opportunity for us to gather together as the body and celebrate what Christ has done for us. A church-wide skating party will be held on Friday, January 3rd at 5:15 at Kingsway Skateland in Paducah. And finally, a new Waldo Precepts class begins in January. Details are available in today's bulletin, or I'm sure you could also speak to Miss Diane Leonard there in the back if you have any questions for her. So before I turn it over to Bubba, we're going to read Psalm 146 put our affections and our minds towards Christ as we begin to worship through song. Psalm 146, it says this: Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. What a good reminder this time of year to not put our hope in anything or anyone other than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords himself. Amen. So let's all stand together. We're going to worship through song as Bubba leads us.
All right. It's good to see you this morning. Stand up if you can. Hey, sing loud because you need to sing over me.
Oh,
Just one moment, we're going to have our ushers come forward, but before we do that, we're going to take a look at our Advent reading. I've really enjoyed that this year, and our topic this morning is hope. One of man's greatest needs has always been for hope. It's hope that gives us motivation, it's hope that allows us to carry on when the burdens of life are too heavy, when we experience pain, suffering, loss, and grief. The good news for us as Christians, our hope in God is not wishful thinking. It's a confident expectation that the Lord of all creation is in the process of making all things right for His glory and our good. Hope was promised in the Garden of Eden. After the fall of man, when God promised that the head of the serpent would be crushed under the foot of the Messiah. Hope was promised to the children of Israel when they were led in the wilderness by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Hope was granted to the Israelites when the tabernacle was constructed so that Yahweh could be worshipped in the wilderness. Hope was given to God's people when the temple was constructed by Solomon, so that they may have a place to worship the Lord. Hope was restored to God's people when the temple was rebuilt after its destruction in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. Hope was promised through the mouth of Isaiah, who proclaimed that the Prince of Peace would come and he would establish a kingdom of justice and righteousness, a kingdom that will never end. Hope was revealed in the incarnation of this king. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. This ought to give us hope. So here is our text this morning, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And I'll close with this. As the prophets of old looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, we find our hope looking back at the person and work of Christ. His virgin birth, his sinless life, sacrificial death, victorious resurrection, and glorious ascension give us the hope in God for every area of our lives. Without these truths, we have no hope for the present or the future. But because of the hope found in the incarnation of the Messiah, we can look forward to the future with confident expectation. We can trust the words of John written in Revelation 21, which give us a promise that the tabernacle of God will be among men, that every tear will be wiped away, there will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. All things will be made new. This is where we find our hope. I'm going to go ahead and ask that a few of our ushers come forward as we worship through tithes and offering. If I could have a few guys come on up, we will pray, and Lori's going to play, and we will worship through our tithes and offerings.
Once again, as established, I am not Pastor Nate. And so this morning, obviously, everything got crazy last minute. And so you'll see on your bulletins that it's still Philippians. You'll see the outline and everything in there. You get to just admire the hard work that goes into this week. But no, there is also inside this, there's a little slip for the Nicene Creed. I know Pastor Nate had intentions of doing, having an element with reading the Nicene Creed. Obviously, as I'm not doing Philippians this morning, we won't be doing that. But I want to encourage you to take that piece of paper. I think we may still have some more in the back. And to read it and to really kind of study on it, as it is a really awesome confession of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to encourage you to still utilize that resource that we have there. But this morning, we are not going through Philippians. Nate did offer to provide his manuscript so that I could read off of it and everything. And I told him, I said, I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to do an injustice to all your hard work and study. And so we're actually going to go through a lesson that we did this past Wednesday with the students. So, get happy. You get to be a youth this morning, right? So you get to be youth with us this morning. We will be in Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 20. And while you're turning, I want to just kind of give us this idea, just help us understand where we've been so that you can better understand where we're going. So in youth with the students, the last several months, we've been talking about pursuing Jesus. And not only just pursuing Jesus, but finding delight in Jesus in our everyday walk. And so several months ago, we went through a four-week study of pursuing Jesus, which means we need to trust in Him, we need to surrender in Him, we need to think more like Him, and when we pursue Jesus, it provides joy. And so we talked about this four-week session of pursuing Jesus, and then I began to really think and study on, you know, this idea of pursuing Jesus. When we pursue Jesus, we have to want to pursue Jesus, right? Like, there's not this just, you know, natural inclination to do so. We are to build this muscle of discipline in pursuing Jesus. Like, I could stand up here, Pastor Nate could stand up here, Pastor Jack could stand up here, and we could yell at you until our faces were red, but we can't change what you want to do, right? We can't make you do anything. Obviously, we want to encourage, but you have to be the one who wants to pursue. And so I started thinking about delighting in Jesus and delighting in His Word. And we started talking about what that means and how we can do that. And we've come to this point. And this point is delighting in Jesus, rejoicing in Jesus every single day, even when it's hard. Learning to choose joy even when it's hard. And the reason for this is because we are a very experienced-based culture. What I mean by that is we chase the big highs of experience. Right? Like, I think about the fact that we will pay $25 an hour to throw axe at a big piece of wood in the back, where I guarantee most of us have an axe in our garage, we can go throw it at a tree for free. For as multiple hours, right? But it's this idea of experiencing it with our friends, having the food and the drinks and having a good time, being able to record it and laugh at each other when you inevitably throw it off the floor and it bounces and comes back at your head. You get to have those experiences. I think about the concerts that we'll chase. And I think about, you know, even in our own relationship, sometimes we feel like if there's not these high experiences within them, then something's going wrong. And that bleeds over into our relationship with Christ. So what happens if we don't feel like He's doing something big in our lives, do we even feel like He's with us? And so what I wanted to encourage the students and what I want to encourage you guys in is being able to choose joy even in the mundane. Because when we do that, when we choose joy, we begin to build this muscle. And when we go through difficult circumstances, it becomes easier to choose joy. It becomes easier to not forget who Christ is, as He is our rock. And so Lamentations chapter 3 is where we're going to be starting this morning, as we look at the role of rejoicing in our spiritual formation. The role of rejoicing in our spiritual formation. So if you can, and if you're able, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 20 through 24. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for today. We thank You for this day in which You've given us. We thank You for the opportunity to come into Your house and to worship You freely. Lord, I pray that we never take that for granted. Right now, Lord, I ask that You would speak through me. Lord, move me out of the way so that we may hear and know what You have to say to us this morning. so that we have the strength and the ability to choose joy each and every morning, even when it's hard. Lord, we thank you so much for all the blessings you continue to give us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. And so, just as I mentioned, we are going to be looking at the role of rejoicing in our spiritual formation. So I just want to kind of do a quick introduction, definition of spiritual formation. So our spiritual formation, it is the process of being transformed into the image of Christ for the glory of God and for the sake of others. Let me say it again. Spiritual formation, it is the process of being transformed into the image of Christ for the glory of God and for the sake of others. And so this morning, we're going to be seeing how rejoicing in God's mercies is not only an act of worship, but it is also a discipline that shapes our hearts, minds, and actions to align with Christ. So we want to be disciplined in rejoicing in Christ. And so let's look at Lamentations, where the first two verses in verse 20 and 21 is this idea of gratitude and awareness of God's mercy. So verse 20 says, "My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." See, right now I want us to see that gratitude and awareness of God's mercy is the foundation of our spiritual growth. As our spiritual growth begins with recognizing God's work in our lives, as each day brings new mercies and invites us to know Him more and to know Him more deeply. Okay? So each and every day we have the opportunity to know Him more deeply through the mercies in which He provides on a daily basis. What's really neat about these two verses is it's kind of a book end and then a book start. I don't know if that's the right term, but I'm using it. Book end and book start. What's happening the 19 verses prior is this just raw lament, right? This book of Lamentations is a collection of poems that are laments from the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel because they were in exile. What happened, these were in response to the Babylonian conquering of Judah. Judah was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. This is the first destroying of the temple. The temple was destroyed. Judah was destroyed. People were destroyed. And those who were left were then brought back to Babylon. They were taken out of their home nation, brought back to Babylon in the exile as servants and slaves to Babylon until the reign of King Cyrus in Persia. And so what these poems are is a response to the difficult season in which Judah was going through. It's a lament. It's this raw emotion of recognizing the afflictions and the difficult season in which they're going through. But what's really neat is they never lost sight of who God was. And so what happens is we often, like what happens is rejoicing, choosing to rejoice and choosing to remember helps us see our circumstances in a different light. They had hope. But what's really neat is they had hope seeing from the history of Israel that only they had. So I want us to understand something. They had a hope from the history that they had of Israel. Deuteronomy is very clear. Moses commands the people of Israel to remember what the Lord has done. Now, those things are the exodus of the Israelite people, right? The saving of the Israelite people. They were restored from slavery out of Egypt. They were brought into the wilderness. The Lord led them. The Lord provided for them each and every day the manna that they needed for that day. The Lord never stopped providing. But we also know that the Lord's judgment was promised and it still came. But what's neat about this is we know that God's word never fails. What He promises, will come into play. Now, they had hope and they could remember this history. And they still had gratitude in his mercies because they knew that their circumstances could be so much more. But God's compassion was still upon the Israelite people. Now, what's really neat is we have more of a full picture than they did. They still had hope in what was to come, and that was the Messiah to restore the kingdom of Israel. Now, we have hope in looking back and knowing that he was the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who defeated death and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. We know the victory. We have the full picture. Amen. And what's really cool about this, and we're going to take us some different passages, but this same lament that is the same literary style of lament, there's a very similar style in Psalm 22. So if you turn with me to Psalm 22, we're going to see some really cool stuff here. Psalm 22, starting in verse 1. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Now, you can see this picture of just raw emotion going on. My God, why have you forsaken me? But then he still never loses sight. But you know what's also really neat about this psalm? Not only is it this lament, but it's also a messianic prophecy. Let's read starting in verse 12. He says, many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. I can't say that word. Anyways, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all of my bones. They stare and they gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Don't you see there's some pretty familiar things that happened in that passage? He was poured out. His blood was poured out like water, like a sacrifice. His bones are all out of joint. Jesus' heart was like wax. It was melted within his breast. His strength was dried up. His tongue sticks to his jaws. Remember when he tells the guards, I thirst. His mouth was dry. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircle me. This term for dogs was often used as a Gentile, for Gentiles. Right. So these two Gentiles encompass me. Right next to me, these evildoers, all these people around me, encircle me, yelling at me, spitting at me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I don't feel like I have to explain that one. I can count all of my bones. What's really neat about that one is that's also a prophecy fulfilled, where the scripture says that there will be no blemish. No bone shall be broken. None of Jesus' bones were broken. He was without blemish to be the perfect sacrifice. They stare and they gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now you may ask, why are you going through this? Why are we talking about this prophecy? Why are we going through Psalms? This is why. Because the affliction and the circumstances in which the Israelites are going through, Jesus went through it so that we didn't have to. We have this full picture of knowing that Jesus is the ultimate hope. Why? Because he went through this ultimate affliction. He went through one of the most gruesome deaths that you could ever go through. Because not only did he physically die a gruesome death, he also bore the weight of our sins. He bore the wrath that God has towards our sins. And he did all of this for us, for you, and for me. Why did he do this? Hebrews 2 is very clear. It says, Hebrews 2, verse 16, it says, "For surely it is not angels that helps, but he helps the offsprings of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and a faithful high priest in the service of God to make a propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those when they are tempted." Jesus is this merciful high priest who can empathize with us. That is why we have this hope that we can choose to rejoice, is because we are coming from a victory position because of Jesus and his blood. And so how much should we be grateful for what the Lord has done? You see, our heart towards rejoicing. If we want to move forward in spiritual formation, we must first be grateful for what he has done. Because gratitude brings a posture of humility and trust. Because we have to recognize that we cannot do it on our own. God is the one who is our rock, who is our fortress. See, this is the very foundation of our spiritual growth, is humility and trust. Because if I don't have humility, I'm prideful and I don't recognize where I need to grow. If I don't have trust, I'm prideful and say, I can do it. Nobody else needs to help me. But when we have humility and we have trust, we are able to posture ourselves for the dependence of the Lord. And then we can trust in God's faithfulness for growth. Right? First, it starts with this posture of gratitude and thankfulness, because it brings that humility, right? It brings the humility and trust, but then that trust, we then trust in his faithfulness for growth. Okay? Does that make sense? We know we can grow because of him, because of what he's done, and because he calls us to do it. And he says, I am with you always. See, trusting God's faithfulness, it removes the pressure of self-reliance and fosters dependence on him. I'm going to read that one more time. Trusting God's faithfulness, it removes the pressure of self-reliance and fosters dependence on him. How many of us have placed pressure on our shoulders that shouldn't be there? How many of us believe that we have to be self-reliant? How many of us have ever said, man, I've got to be the best blank. I've got to be the best mom. I've got to be the best dad. Got to be the best brother, sister, wife, husband, grandfather, employee, customer, whatever it may be. I've got to be the best. And what happens when we think that is we put this pressure on our shoulders that really shouldn't be there, that we can't handle. We can't handle it. And we say, man, I want to grow. I want to be better at this. But then we don't go to the actual source. We do it with ourselves. And guys, I'm here to tell you, you can't. You can't do it. It's so funny. We're like toddlers in the sense that I know that this is going to hurt me. And I know I can't do this on my own, but I'm going to still do it. Right? I laugh at my son, Elias, who is 13 months. He comes with me to work. And if you know, my office is just right here. So I have a big office or a big desk. L-shaped desk, and under it, I've got all these cords and everything like that, like things that could hurt him, right? Like an electrical circuit that if he puts his finger in, it's not going to feel good. I don't want him to do that. I have a playpen for him. I've even put a gate out here and let him roam. I've even let him roam this hallway. You know where he wants to be? Under my desk. He'll sit out here for like 2-3 minutes. Like the other day, he was sitting out here playing with the ball, and you know, him and I were playing, and then he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want it under the desk. Like, I'm giving you the church, and you want the desk. We laugh, but how often is that us? We keep running back to the things that we know we can't do on our own, and we know that ends up hurting us. We keep doing it on our own. When Jesus is saying, hey, no, all of you who are weary and heavy with burden, come to me. Why? Because I will give you rest. And we have to trust in God that he will do what he says. That he wants to remove the pressure of self-reliance so that we have that discipline of dependence on him, because he is our rock and he is our foundation. And so we need to learn gratitude as we can trust in God's faithfulness to bring us towards formation, spiritual formation. And then now let's look at rejoicing, the role of rejoicing in spiritual formation, as rejoicing is transformative. Rejoicing is not just a response to God's goodness, right? That's that experience that we're talking about. It's not just a response to God's goodness. It is a discipline that reshapes how we view our lives and our circumstances. It's a discipline that we have each and every day. Psalm 118, verse 24 is a great passage that reminds us, and it says, Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, he doesn't say this is this day that's great, that you love so much, that you know, that's the day that the Lord has made. All the other days, neither here nor there. At least my version doesn't say that. My version says this is the day. And we're called to seek after him and to rejoice in each and every day. As we know, it was made by the Lord. And then Lamentations chapter 3 builds upon this. Verse 22, he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's rejoicing. Great is your faithfulness. I'm going through awful circumstances, but Lord, I know your mercies are new every day. I know that this is the day that you have made. Therefore, I will rejoice. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to rejoice because I know I am coming from a victory. And I know I don't have to do it on my own because I have you as my rock. The rejoicing brings transformation, because when we rejoice, we don't want to try to get out of our circumstances. We want to go through it with the Lord, because when we know we go through different seasons, it brings growth. It brings strength. Now, I don't remember if I brought it up in here before. I probably have. I bring it up a lot. But there's this really neat idea about scientists. They tried to figure out like life on the moon. For some reason, we've always wanted to leave Earth. But they're trying to figure out life on the moon. And right, like we know that one of the main life sources are trees, right? Because it brings all the, I'm not going to go scientific, but they were trying to grow trees in a zero gravity type chamber, right? To basically to be the moon. And they found that when trees got to a certain point, they would fall. It took them a second to realize, but then they found out that there was no wind pushing against that tree. And so what was happening was the tree was just growing, and then when it got heavy enough at the top, it just fell over. You see, these trees out here, especially on Waldo Hill, they're the strongest trees ever because it never stops. The wind never stops out here. But the wind is constantly going against these trees. And what it does is when that wind pushes against the trees, it's strengthening the lumber. It's strengthening the tree, and they're able to grow with one another to hold the tree together. It's the same thing that happens in our lives. If we go through life with zero resistance, we're not going to grow. See, I know every single one of us in this room has gone through something that we can look back at and go, you know what? I would be a completely different person if I didn't go through that season. I know for me, I can look back at, it was like sophomore year of college. My trip to Indianapolis, that radically changed my life. If I didn't go on that trip, if I didn't experience that season, I wouldn't be standing here today. Honestly, I don't even know if I would know what Paducah or Metropolis was. But that's a season in my life that was hard, things leading up to it, but then God provided this opportunity. And then there's been seasons in my life in the ministry where, man, I am 1,000 times a different minister than I was when I first started because of the seasons that I went through. It grows me. It strengthened me. And it matured me. Now, I would be lying if I said I still don't have much to grow in because I got a lot. I still got a lot to grow in. But I'm thankful for the seasons that I've gone through. Now, in those times, was I thankful? Unfortunately, not. Do I wish I would have chose joy in those seasons a little bit more than I did? I do. But thankfully, now I can look back at it and go, man, I even more so, I'm going to choose joy. Because I know, just as James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, it brings transformation. When we meet trials of various kinds, and He calls us to count it all joy. Because you want to know what the difference between a complaint and a lament is? A complaint is us asking God to take us out of it. A lament is us asking God to take us through it. To carry us through it. Because we know it brings spiritual transformation, and we know we can have trust in Him to do so. And so when we choose joy, it trains our heart to focus on God's presence rather than our problems. We can move forward and know that God is with us and we are strengthened through it. He has a purpose for it. We may not be able to see it, but we know He has a purpose. Rather than getting stuck in our problems and not moving forward and not being strengthened. And lastly, I want us to look at rejoicing as an act of worship. So first, I'll just go back. First, we see it starts with this heart of gratitude because it brings humility. And through that humility, we can trust in Christ. And we can trust in Him to bring us forward, to move us forward in maturity and in strengthening for our walk in Christ. And because of this, we rejoice as an act of worship, as our worship shapes the soul. You see, rejoicing is a form of worship that recalibrates our hearts to prioritize God above all else. I want to say that one more time. Rejoicing is a form of worship that recalibrates our hearts to prioritize God above all else. See, I say this to my students every Wednesday. And I'm sure they're probably tired of hearing it, but that's okay. That means I'm doing my job. I'm going to say it every Wednesday until I can't anymore. But I tell them, when we start into our time of worship, when I try to reel them in, I say, all right, guys, listen. Worship. We're about to go into worship. This is not about singing a song. This is not about singing lyrics. You know what it's about? It's about aligning our hearts to Christ. It's about recognizing what He's done in our lives and being thankful for that. It's about aligning our hearts to understand God is the priority, and what we're about to hear in our word, in His Word, is of utmost importance. It's about aligning our hearts. See, worship is just that. I explain to my students, we can worship in many different ways other than just singing at the top of our lungs in the shower or in the car. We can worship in the mundane by waking up and saying, Lord, I thank you. See, often because of our experience-based nature, we think we have to get up and make this big ordeal about our relationship with Christ. I'm going to sit here and read God's Word for an hour. I'm going to light a candle. I'm going to sing. So whatever it may be, we don't have to make this big ordeal. Now, if you do that, awesome. Like, praise be to the Lord that you have that dedication, you have that discipline for the Lord. But oftentimes it's building this muscle of finding things. Because what happens is we often get stuck in our problems. We're not looking forward to His presence, and we're not recognizing the mercies in which are new every morning. And so when we align our hearts to Christ as an act of worship in rejoicing, then we can see the things in which He has given us. Circle. Right? It all comes together as we learn to rejoice so that it shapes our soul and transforms our focus from temporary struggles to eternal truths. When we worship Christ, when we choose to rejoice, we choose to focus on the eternal truths, not our temporary struggles. And that brings us joy. And so what I want to encourage us in today, is to find ways to build a habit of worshiping and rejoicing in Christ every day. That could be something small. I'll give you what I challenge the students with, and I'm doing it with the students as well. I have taken this opportunity, and I have each morning read Psalms 118, 24, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Those three simple verses. I have encouraged the students to do so. I am doing it with the students, and I would encourage you guys to do that as well. Because what this does, you may be sitting there thinking, yeah, but like that's small. Okay. But what it does is builds a muscle so that you can pick up bigger things. Because how many times, I'm speaking from experience here. Has anybody in here ever tried to do a one-year Bible reading? How many made it to February? Oh, look at that. We got some dedicated people. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, a lot of times, I mean, if you've made it past February, boom. Did you make it past March? Okay, look at y'all. Man, y'all are killing it. I love it. Me, in my experience, is probably more of the common. I make it through maybe February. But about that time, I've missed like 3 or 4 days. And I'm like 18 chapters behind. And I just feel overwhelmed. And then I'm just like, yeah, no. I drop it and then don't get back to it. And the reason I'm saying that is because oftentimes what we need is small attainable goals in which you can reach to build that muscle. I think about when I was in seventh grade and I had just started football practice. And I remember thinking, man, I'm doing power cleans with these 2.5 pound weights. I am a weakling. But then I dropped it on my foot and it wasn't good. I was weak. I mean, I was like this small. We can't all be Tyler and be tall at sixth grade. But anyways, I just remember thinking, man, this is pitiful. These guys are doing, 250, 300. Like, I need to do that. I don't even think I could pick up that at that point. But by the time I was older, I could do much more weight. Why? Because I started small. And so I want to encourage us to start small if we haven't. Now, if you are sitting in this room and you're like, I don't know, I'm doing 45s over here. Keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing. But I just want to encourage you to find a way to choose joy. To choose joy in Him every day. Even on those days that it's hard to get out of bed. You just dread this day. But what's really neat is that day is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And it has purpose. And we're going to rejoice in it. So I want us to find those small, applicable ways to train ourselves to have gratitude in the Lord, to trust in the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord and to worship the Lord. Because He is above all things. He is our top priority. But here's the thing, guys. You have to want to. You have to want to. I know that from experience as well. That could be a whole other sermon. I won't go into all that. But you have to want to. But what's really neat, this is my last encouragement. You have people in this room in whom you can lean on, in whom you can be encouraged by. You can encourage them. You can lean to popular belief, like the church isn't for these pews to be sat in just on Sunday morning. The church is meant to be lived with one another. It's meant to be pushed by one another, to be encouraged by one another. In the Lord. And to be someone who you can cry on their shoulder, or you can be the shoulder in which they cry on. Because it's not easy. The Lord never said it. And so as the worship team comes forward, I want to give this opportunity of response. I pray that if you've surrendered your life to Christ, you experience this wonderful new life in which He's given us, as you've been brought from death to life. This is your response to the Lord today. Lord, I want to have an ultimate affection for You, for Your Word. I want to choose joy each and every day. Give me strength to do so. This each and every day. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, today is the perfect day to do so. Today is a perfect day to experience that new life as you repent from your sins and turn to Him and learn to trust in Him and learn to have gratitude in Him. Today is a perfect day. We have men in this room who would love to talk with you, who would love to pray with you. And so we're thankful that we get to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm going to pray and then we'll go into a time of response. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You so much once again, Lord, for Your mercies that are new each and every morning. Lord, I pray that You give us as made, and I will rejoice in it, even when it's hard. I pray that if any one of us has this pressure of self-reliance on our shoulders, that we give that over to You as You have called us to do so, as You proclaim that You give us rest. And I have faith in You and I trust in You that You will do that. Lord, if anyone in this room needs to know you, I ask that you would draw them to you. And give them a heart of response to your gospel and repentance from their sins. We love you so much for who you are and the blessings you continue to give us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand if you can.
Again for being here and being attentive to God's word. Like I said, I just pray that you take that. I pray that this word was encouraging to you this morning. I know it was encouraging to me when I was studying it over the past week. And so if you guys, seriously, if you ever need anything, and I'm telling y'all are my youth this morning, okay? So I'm going to tell y'all like I tell my youth. We love you guys. And if you ever need anything, please feel free to reach out, because I can promise you, you're not being a burden. We love you guys, and we're here for you. All right? Anybody, Brother Jack, you have anything? All right. Remember, this afternoon, 5:30, be here to support the kids as they're presenting their Christmas play. We're excited to see them and proclaim the name of Christ to you guys. So make sure to be here to support them. There's also a bonus of cocoa and cookies afterwards, and so it's always a great time of fellowship as we support them. So 5:30 this afternoon, we'll be in here. All right, guys, I'm going to pray, and then you'll be dismissed. Dear Father, Lord, once again, we just thank you. Lord, may we never take for granted the opportunity that we have to come into your house to gather freely, Lord. That I pray that if anyone in this room is feeling that pressure of self-reliance, or is feeling the circumstances becoming, they're being stuck at looking in their circumstances, but maybe not looking to you. I pray that you would give them the strength and the guidance to continue to look to you and to choose joy and to choose rejoicing in you. Lord, be with us as we go into your mission field, as we shine bright for your glory.